Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Katie F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, January 7th, 2026, and today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 12, the first paragraph in Bill's story. Despite the living example of my friend, through one paragraph ending with scores of men who felt the same way. Comments on one paragraph. Today's readers are, and thank you for your service, for the 12 Steps, Mary C., the 12 Traditions, Maura Z., and reading the text are Tony B. and Christina L., and the backup is Heidi B. The newcomer greeter is Reba P., and the host of the second hour is Ken W.H. The reference numbers for Tuesday, January 6, 2026, 7 a.m. meeting is 23,092, that's 23092, and for the 10 a.m. meeting, 23,093, that's 23093. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Oh, I'm on the wrong page. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the taking and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now 12 steps.
Star one, this is Mary C. Thank you. Mary C. from Italy. Compulsive overeater, and here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Mary. Okay, I will now ask Maura Z. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Katie. Maura Z., gratefully recovered in Virginia. These are the 12 traditions of OA. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. A loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Maura. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. On page 12, the first paragraph, despite the living example of my friend, through one paragraph ending with scores of men who felt the same way. Comments on the one paragraph. I will ask Tony B. to begin reading.
Thank you, Katie. My name is Tony B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. Despite the living example of my friend, there remained in me the vestiges of my old prejudice. The word God still aroused a certain antipathy. When the thought was expressed that there might be a God personal to me, this feeling was intensified. I didn't like the idea. I could go for such conceptions as creative intelligence, universal mind, or spirit of nature, but I resisted the thought of a czar of the heavens, however loving his sway may be. I have since talked with scores of men who felt the same way. An important paragraph, this, opening things up to people who have different kind of concepts of a power greater than themselves. A few things come to mind. You know, there's this living example sitting in front of him that gives him some hope. But until the steps are worked, you know, until he actually takes action and does the things that Ebby has done to get this spiritual awakening, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, you know, and he's not going to have it until then. And phrases like, I didn't like the idea, you know, he's dying of alcoholism, but he doesn't like the idea. And it's interesting. He can see what God did in Ebby, but he hasn't proved it for himself yet. It's experience that we need to prove for ourselves that there's something that can help us. He's a hopeless, helpless drunk with absolutely no answer, and here's his friend bringing an answer, and yet still he's got these vestiges. They are disappearing. Vestiges is something that's on its way out. So he's aware that's, you know, he's heading in the right direction. And there's another aspect to this maybe too, which is that well, it's very important that this is being opened up, and that we're all quite likely to have prejudice and doubt until we know for ourselves, you know. Yeah, that's all I've got. Thank you for letting me share. I love you guys and look forward to hearing what you have to share.
Thank you for getting us started, Tony. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Nadia E.
Melissa C.
Okay. I have Nadia E. and Melissa C. I can't.
Sally
Rachel
A.
B.
Sally
Roy
A.
C.
Roy C.
Rachel B.
Rachel B. And I heard a couple people, other people, but I couldn't hear your names actually. I have Nadia E., Melissa C.,
Lynn S.
Sally A., Roy C., Rachel B., Lynn S. Okay, anyone else who I didn't hear? Okay,
Amy F., New Jersey.
Amy F. as in Frank?
S. as in Sam.
Okay, Amy F. Okay, that's a good lineup. Okay, Nadia E., you're up, followed by Melissa C. Star one, Nadia.
Oh, I am now unmuted. Here I am.
You are.
Good morning. Okay. Good morning, Katie. Good morning, family. It's Nadia E. from Toronto, Canada, and I am a grateful, very grateful, compulsive overeater recovered today by the grace of God. So this really spoke to me because it's basically two things. So the religious became spiritual, just thinking that, you know, it's not about religion, it's about spirituality. And so despite having the proof right in front of him, he was still denying it or still not fully accepting it. And that sort of, it boils down to fear. I know for myself that when I am prejudiced about something, initially when I came into these rooms about God, so basically it was fear. I just, because I didn't know, because if I don't understand something, then I grab hold of fear, and that keeps me feeling safe, what I think is safe, but not really. So when I get on my knees and I surrender and I allow this power greater than myself, anything or anyone on earth, to enter my mind, my heart, my soul, then I can trust that power. And then I have proof, 100% proof, that I am a miracle, that miraculous things happen to me every single day if I allow my higher power to guide me. It's totally amazing. And with everything, you know, like with food, with interactions with other people today, if I just let go of the fear, I will be amazed before I'm halfway through. And with that, I pass. Love you guys. Bye.
Thank you so much, Nadia E. And Melissa C., you're up, followed by Sally A.
Hey, good morning. Thanks so much, Katie, for, you know, for your service this morning on the meeting. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I read this, and I really relate to this. I, you know, like Bill, I had this this opportunity to see people who had gotten well, you know, whose roots grasped new soil, who were not living the way that I lived anymore, who seemed at ease and at peace, and yeah, weren't eating compulsively and had been maintaining healthy body weights for periods of time. And when they spoke about a God, and then, you know, that it wasn't just going to be this spirit of the universe, although, you know, that appeals to me, that there wasn't just going to be sort of nature and sunshine, and all that appeals to me too, but that it was actually going to have to be a czar over the heavens, something that was actually going to govern me. Because if my roots are grasping new soil, you know, it means that the things that are sustaining me, that I'm drawing like strength and nourishment and direction from, are different than they used to be. And for me, that was like a star of the heavens, something that was going to be the boss, you know, the great boss of me. And I didn't like that. You know, it bothered me, you know, one, because I want to be the boss. Thank you very much. I didn't really want a different boss than me. And I didn't think for a long time, I didn't think there was anything necessarily wrong with me other than that I couldn't stop eating, you know. And thankfully, you know, I say thankfully, I was beaten into a state of reasonableness where I had nothing else left. You know, it was like, okay, you know, if I really value my thinking so much, if I really think that I didn't need a personality change, because that's really what this is. When you say that you're going to, you know, surrender to Tsar of the Heaven, that means you're going to like let go of your personality and you're going to be willing to change your personality. And I had to really come to grips that, you know what, if my personality, if I think my personality is so great, you know, if I like myself so much the way that I am, why am I killing this person I like with a knife and a fork and a spoon? And so, you know, I did have to lay aside this idea that I wasn't going to be the boss anymore, that I was going to invite a new boss in. And I had to let go of my, you know, my arrogance and my closed-mindedness. And here I was always thinking I was the most open-minded, you know, kind of person. But this program taught me what it really means to have an open mind, that I had to open my mind up so that there was a power. I might not understand it. I couldn't necessarily define it, but that I was going to let it define me. And that's what recovery is about. And thanks for that. I'll pass. Yep, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Melissa. Okay, Sally A., you're up, followed by Roy C.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. It's Sally A. in New York. You know, so what I see here in Bill is once again, he's revisiting what it is that's stopping him from turning to a higher power than himself. The vestiges of my old prejudice, the word God still aroused a certain antipathy, a hesitation, a shyness. I think that, as others have postulated, that he was threatened by the idea of giving up his control, his power, and not being the boss of his own life, as we just heard. And it is uncomfortable. I heard recently someone talk about, where are we still agnostic? And when I came into this program, I was one of those people like Roland Hazard. I really do feel like I'm a reincarnate, who thought, oh, I could do this, I go to church, I do this, I do that. And the truth of the matter is, I had the same vestiges of Pride and Prejudice. I didn't want to let go because I was afraid, mostly it was fear, as someone else shared, that I couldn't control my life, and I didn't trust God to control my life. And so when I'm reading about how blocked he is, I'm reminded of the very first time I did my fourth step, sitting at my kitchen table at lunchtime. I was doing my writing for the day. I was working on that fourth step. And as I was eating cottage cheese, I still remember I was 22. It was over 40 years ago. I had a burp. I know this sounds sick, but it's true. I had a burp that came out of me. It came up, and with the burp came a memory. That's what this is about. This memory that I had pushed down so deep inside of myself because I didn't want to confront this bad memory, a memory that my mother, who was around when these things happened, said, don't tell anyone because they'll think this and they'll think that. And I was the one who thought, oh my goodness. And the memory was that I had been raped at the age of 17. And that is what this book is about, allowing these memories that are causing us to turn to the food to come up. When I turn around and I binge on something, I won't know what it is that caused me to turn to the food. I won't know because I will have eaten it down again. That's why I encourage you, especially if you're new, keep going, push fast, get to step four, let these things come up so that you can confront them only to the extent that you're going to give them to God and let God heal you. That's what this is about. These 12 steps are not about climbing a ladder. They're about climbing to God. And the steps give us this lovely way of getting to what's keeping us, thank you, what's blocking us from getting to our higher power. Thanks for letting me share that. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Sally. Okay, Roy C., you're up, followed by Rachel B.
Good morning. This is Roy C. from Southern New Jersey. And I'm a compulsive overeater, and I thanks for letting me share this morning. In the reading, the word that came to me, I had to look it up, was antipathy, strong feelings against. And just the fact that there's feelings about God and other higher powers and stuff like that is something that, it causes people early in the 12-step programs to question and feel negative about. And certainly Bill felt this way. But there's acceptance that's involved in this. And feelings are different all over the place. I'm from New Jersey, up north. I recently traveled to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, down south, and the feelings about God and a higher power are much different in that area of the country than I experienced in New Jersey. And acceptance was a good part of what was needed. And on page 449 of the third edition of the Big Book, acceptance is the key. And I think that may have been what Bill finally comes to, is acceptance of a higher power. Be it God or whoever you recognize as a higher power that you have, and it still is, and we have to practice that every day in our programming. At least I do, and I thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass at that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Roy. Okay, Rachel B., you're up, followed by Lynn S.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for your service. Rachel B., compulsive overeater in Illinois, recovering just for today by God's grace and mercy. What I heard for me in this reading is that I have something that only once the spiritual malady is fixed, everything else is going to straighten up. One day at a time, if I don't quit. That's a promise. And that's what I'm seeing in my own life. I've got about 8.5 months clean as of right now. And for me, I feel like I've never felt so light, so happy, and so free. And I need something really simple because this mind is afraid. This mind wants to complicate everything. And this mind wants to run back to her own understanding. And that gets me to the same thing every time. And for me, what I'm beginning to recognize, because what food does, it blinds me. It takes away what's already been there, but I just didn't see it. I just didn't know. And what this program does and what these steps does is it gives me back my vision. It gives me back my voice and it opens up my hands. And what I see with this program with me so far is that not only is God doing for me what I cannot do for myself, is he's showing me what's always been there, that I was already made, like the Big Book talks about, I was already designed and fashioned for a relationship with a higher power. I was designed for that. And so when I can take that faith and let it build and look for that evidence, that that is my design. It's not so unfathomable, because just like I'm learning how to take one hand that's eaten with one fork and the other hand, I'm forcing myself to do that. I actually am going into agreement with my design. And it just takes a while for it to get to my head, to get into my heart. Thank you so much for letting me share. Everybody have a great day.
Sorry, I thought I was unmuted. Okay, thank you, Rachel. Now we'll have Lynn S. followed by Amy S. And then we will take another list of names for the first paragraph on page 12. Thank you.
Good morning, KDF. Good morning, Vision. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. As I was listening to the lead share read this, I got a vision of my eating buddy, and this particular eating buddy wasn't really a friend that I had sussed out myself, but we were both going to the same psychologist to get help with our weight, so of course we would run off and eat together, binge together. And she stood before me, and she was shoveling food in her mouth, and the weight was falling off her. Falling off. So I said, what are you doing? You know, she said, oh, I found out I'm allergic to foods and they react differently in my body. Now, this had nothing to do with OA, but she just found she had food allergies. So as long as I don't eat those foods, the weight just falls off me. And I'm standing there listening to this. And any of these things, I would gladly have jumped on the bandwagon, but they didn't work. You know, it was just, what's the newest thing? What's the newest whatever? Funny that it should sort of relate to what we talk about. But what I really wanted to say is this is different. This experience right now is different. And why didn't any of those things work? Because they didn't involve God. But this is different. Here, Bill is looking at his friend Abby, just like Lynn was looking at her friend Karen. But Karen's was a mirage. But Bill's looking at Abby, and this is different. The idea of God is being expressed to Bill, just like the idea of God was expressed to me at my first meeting. And what I'd heard was, thank God for what you want as if you already have it. And I thought that first OA meeting was a bunch of bunk and everybody was nuts and they were all in therapy and, you know, they were all heavy and blah and blah. But I heard that one thing and it worked. It worked for me. It developed a connection overnight with me, with God. And I just... The miracle of this program astounds me. The miracle of Abby standing in front of Bill talking about God and Bill even thinking about it for a minute astounds me. This is the opening of our incredible recovery. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lynn. Okay, next we'll have Amy S. and then we'll get another list of names.
Excuse me, I'm sick right now. Pardon if my voice is breaking up a little bit. My name's Amy S., and I'm a grateful compulsive overeater from South Jersey. what we read today reminds me of how when I came into program, my conception of God needed to be reevaluated. I knew there was a God. I believed in God, but I believed in a lot of things that, and I had a lot of prejudices in regards to a punishing God. You know, I was angry at God for some of the challenges that I had faced in life. And I was fortunate enough to have a sponsor who, you know, took me through a whole series of different activities and things, writing about different things that really changed my conception of God. It's almost like a new God of my understanding was created. The God that you read about, you know, in the Bible, the one that wants best for us and all his children. So for me, I needed to go through that to have that spiritual connection with a different, new, loving God that I now know is the one who will keep me in recovery, who will, you know, who's, you know, the one that Ebby is referring to that allows us to have the life that we beyond our wildest dreams, you know. So I guess I just wanted to put it out there, like if someone's struggling with the idea, sometimes it may be just the word God itself or higher power itself that scares people away. And sometimes it takes us realigning that whole idea of who God is and what he can do for us. Or I feel like I'm rambling, but you know, my point is that I'm so grateful now for the God I have up today, the God that gets me through every day abstinently. And I have faltered so much. I'm unfortunately a chronic relapser. But the God that I know will get me to the point where I will be recovered. I will get to the point where I will be able to speak on these meetings. I will be able to read and do different things. So thank you so much, everyone, for your shares. Thank you for the meeting. I hope you all have a blessed day. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Amy, and I hope you feel better. So who else, if you haven't shared in the last 2 days, would like to share on the first paragraph on page 12? Press star one.
Jennifer C.
Lisa B.
Lisa B. T. or something. Joyce
Jennifer C.
Joyce B.
Joyce B. Okay. And who else?
Do you have Jennifer C?
I do. I have Jennifer C, Lisa B T, I think, Joyce B. Time for several more.
Janice A.
Okay, I heard Janice A. And who else?
Danny P.
Danny P.
Exactly.
Claire T. I'm sorry, I can't
Troy
hear you.
Troy C.
Troy. Okay, I got Troy. But there's another woman that I didn't get your name. Could you spell it, please? Anne-Marie M. Okay. I did not hear that at all. Okay. Okay. So this is who I have. Jennifer C., Lisa B. T., Joyce B., Janice A., Troy, I think C., and Anne-Marie M. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much. Jennifer C., recovered in Greenville, South Carolina. You know, this is such a process, and I love how this breaks down Bill's process. This book speaks of God as a fact. It's not an opinion. It's a fact. It's just as much of a fact as me being an alcoholic. Check the box, right? And then it tells me that not only is God a fact, but that he's got to be everything or nothing. What's my choice going to be? Do I want to get recovered or not? That's
That's the reality of this process. It's not that I make up my own rules, right? It's not even that I make up my own God. Choose your conception. Conception. Where are you going to start? Where are you going to begin? Conception. And then there's a process. Coming to believe. My conception evolves, right? Like, this book is teaching me I'm a child of God. I'm a child. I'm self-willed. I want to call the shots. So you say to the child, okay, child, you have to wear shoes. You can't go outside if you don't wear shoes. But which shoes would you like to wear? And all of a sudden, the kid's like, okay, I'll put my shoes on because I get to choose. Still need shoes, though, right? I need God. And this book is teaching me early on in the doctor's opinion that my ideals must be grounded in a power greater than me if I am to recreate my life. All of my ideals, sobriety is an ideal. Abstinence is an ideal. We eat in a very idealistic way. We have to. My ideals have to be grounded in a power greater than me. And I come to believe that this power loves me, that this power is a personal God. And when I work with other people in this program, I meet them where they are. And I help them unpack that pride and that prejudice. You know, this book is teaching us that these worldly clamors, these things that happen to us, these traumas and these concepts of God that pushed us away from God, those are the things that we have to look at so that they can be removed, so that we can see God for who he truly is, a loving, personal, powerful, miracle-working God. Who wants my sobriety more than I do? Who wants my freedom more than I do? Who wants to perform these miracles in my life more than I want him to? And that's where the hope comes in, because my will is to be free, and so is God's will for me. That's the good news. And I remember the moment when I was praying, and I was praying, and I was praying, and I was asking God for all these things, and I heard God say, Jennifer Marie, I want these things for you. I want to do these things
next
for
time.
You. Surrender. And you know what? I don't even surrender myself. We hear that word constantly as if we can do that for ourselves. God has to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And that is the baseline of recovery. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jennifer. Okay, Lisa BT, you're up, followed by Joyce B.
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa BT, Ontario, Canada, grateful compulsive overeater. I have recently been saying the set-aside prayer in the mornings. I have it's called My Spiritual Toolkit. It's a very helpful, has all the prayers listed. And I've done different ones over time, and often more than one as part of my quiet time. But recently, the set-aside prayer has been really helpful to me because I'm a person who is quite attached to the story, a story, you know, and then I stop being open to other possibilities. And as I put my name out there, I'm noticing that in the past I've had more a sense of what I wanted to say, like, oh, this makes me think of this. And this morning, it is different. I'm hoping I make sense. All I know is I felt like I should push the button and see if I could share, because I was so moved by Bill's willingness. This paragraph to me, it feels so, it really captures so much my own experience, particularly the wanting to have an idea of God, and even what does God look like, all those things, and finding words that were more palatable to me. And yet it was really keeping me very much in my head, as opposed to a relationship. And in this program, it is the relationship that is what has emerged. And Just last night, I had this strong sense of kind of a hand on my shoulder. And I had never, that had never happened to me before, that sense of God's hand on my shoulder. And I realized I had been at a funeral recently of a young man, he was only 19, packed, and various people spoke. And among them were his sister and his cousin, young people. And when they got a little overwhelmed, the other one would come up and just literally stand behind them by their shoulder, just as they shared very openly about their feelings about their brother or cousin. And it moved me deeply to see that just quiet way in which the presence for each other allowed a walking toward just life, and you know, that it's confusing and painful at times, and yet we don't have to do it alone. So that's what really, thank you, that's what really came to me, and I wanted to share. Thank you for allowing me to do so. I'll pass with that.
Okay, thank you so much, Lisa BT from Canada, and now we'll have Joyce B, followed by Janice A. Joyce, star one.
So sorry, I was talking away. This is Joyce B. from Illinois. I love this paragraph. I identify with it in some ways. I was a believer when I came into program, so I thought I knew God. I was a lot like Bill in that it was going to be the God of my terms. It was going to be the God that I had created. And I soon learned in program that it was not the God I created, that I was not in charge, that I did not have the power, that I did need a power greater than myself. And although I thought I knew God, I didn't know God. And that's what the program has done for me in recovery. I used to thank God for leading me to OA. And today I thank OA for leading me to God and a deeper relationship that I have with Him because of recovery. Thanks for letting me share. This is Joyce in Illinois.
Thank you, Joyce. Okay, Janice A, you're up, followed by Troy C.
Good morning, everybody. This is Janice H., recovering compulsive overeater in California. Thank you for the meeting, Janet. I guess what happened for me is that, I was abstinent and recovered, and then, my husband has health problems and his illness took a bad turn, and I got a resentment against the church I was in at the time, and then I got angry, and so I was out there in the food for quite some time, and it's only recently that I've been able to get back into, working the steps and having a sponsor and being abstinent. And I just, like Bill in the paragraph, I just got so desperate that I had the willingness to believe in something, I'm still not really sure, exactly what it is, but I do pray, and I do my third step prayer in the morning, and, that really does help me, I do feel as though there is some kind of divine intervention in keeping me abstinent and also in guiding me through some really tough stuff I'm going through with my husband's illness and not eating through it. And I guess that to, you know, the program and having a good sponsor and, you know, the insight that comes from working the steps in the way that you guys outline in this group. You know, the support also of the meetings and the people on the line. It doesn't necessarily make it any less difficult, but it makes it more bearable, you know, the stuff I'm going through. And I'm sure a lot of us have that kind of stuff happening. But I just never thought I would be able to stay out of the food. I never thought I would be able to have that happen for me, and it is happening. So
next
there
time,
must be
please.
Something. Okay. Well, I'll pass with that, and thanks for the meeting. Bye.
Thank you, Janice H. from California. Now we'll have Troy C., and then I'm not sure if it was Anne Marie M. or if it was someone else with a two-word name. So after Troy C., we'll get that worked out. Go ahead, Troy.
Hey, good morning. This is Troy C., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. Katie, thank you so much for your service, and shout out to Roy C., as is tradition. Yeah, my most important takeaway from this paragraph, for me, I had to just be willing to stop fighting. You know, I came to 12-step a belligerent atheist, and then in the beverage program, I had been beaten up badly enough that I was willing to believe and started to have a spiritual experience and ultimately stopped doing what I needed to do to maintain that connection. And by the time I came to OA, I was fully back in the camp of being an atheist, or at best, a very skeptical agnostic. And I was going to atheist agnostic meetings. And if you can recover that way, you know, hats off to you. But I found myself in a position where I could not stop eating. I could not stop doing what I was doing with the food. And I surrendered. You know, when you're a prisoner of war and you're in a prisoner of war camp, it's not like, okay, I give up fighting, but I'm going to get up at this time. Oh, and I want to be able to play these video games in the afternoon. Like, no, you're beaten. You gave up. You didn't have another option. You exhausted every other option available. And that's what I did. I exhausted every option available to me. And then I came here. And what I was asked to do first was admit what I was doing with the food and recognize that I couldn't stop doing it. And then I was asked if I was willing to believe in a power greater than myself. There was a description on here that really helped me with that. My first, you know, couple of months back, that this idea of a God that has counted the hairs on my head, you know, something personal to me. But the biggest thing was I just had to put my ideas down. And I work with a lot of guys who come in with all these profound spiritual ideas, and they cannot keep themselves from raiding the fridge and the pantry at night. So this is what it looks like for me, is to put down what I know and recognize that whatever I know, whatever ideas I had, they weren't keeping me abstinent. They couldn't keep me safe. I had to be willing to put all my ideas and conceptions down and beg for help. And at this point, what the help is asking me to do is be willing to believe in a power greater than myself. That's it. I pass.
Thank you so much, Troy C. And so if you said your name and it's sort of like Anne Marie M., you're next. Or else Anne Marie M. will share.
Chris G.
We'll okay. Chris G., you'll be after Anne Marie M. Okay. Go ahead, Anne Marie. Okay, go ahead, Chris G. I don't know what's happening. Someone said
thank
that
you,
Danny
that's
P.
Buddy for sharing.
Oh, I thought I was unmuted. Go
oh
ahead.
Okay. Go ahead, Chris G., then Anne Marie M., and then maybe Danny P., if we have time. But I doubt it. Sorry.
Okay. So what I wanted to share today was that when I read the OA literature at the face-to-face meetings, it said that I would become happy, joyous, and free. And I didn't expect that to ever happen. It didn't apply to me. So when I wake up with a smile on my face and I go to bed with a smile on my face, I say, oh, wait a minute, it did happen to me. And it does happen to me. So that's what I wanted to share. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chris G. And Anne Marie M., if you could please press star 1 to unmute, and you can share.
Okay, great. I just did. I'm unmuted. This is Anne Marie M. I'm in South Carolina, and so I'm out walking. I didn't say my name, but then I thought, you know what, I haven't shared in a while, so here I am, grateful. And so I love the analogy of, you know, you tell a child that they have to put their shoes on, and, well, you tell me I have to do something. Let's put it that way. And, you know, I'm defiant. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it that way. But then you tell me, you know what? What kind of shoes do you want? You get to choose, you know. And, then I can accept that. My relationship with God has been, it was strong, then it wasn't, then it was strong. And I am getting closer and closer. I'm working with, I'm Christian, and I'm working with two other Christian women, and, you know, reading about the, so much like the Big Book. They parallel each other so well, and getting a stronger relationship with God than I ever have. So I am really grateful for that. And I will pass. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Anne Marie M., and thank you, everyone, for your patience with me with all this mishearing. And so, Danny P., a little bird told me that you maybe had said your name. So if you want to share, that would be awesome. Star 1.
Good morning, Katie. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your service and your patience. Thank you for everyone who does this meeting possible and for the leading share. I'm Danny P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, only by God's grace and God's mercy, and I'm calling from Brazil. This paragraph and the previous ones, they hit me very hard. What stands out for me is the living example. A living example of what? A living example of a relationship with power. Had this power originated in him? Of course not. But it's obvious that there is a power at work in the human heart, which has done the impossible. And the impossible, it's not abstinence. The impossible is that I don't want to eat. That's the impossible. The impossible is that it's this inwardly reorganization. That's impossible for me, that I'm standing on a different footing. I'm on a different basis, on a different foundation, where God is leading my thinking, is directing my thinking, my actions, where my roots are grasping a new soil. For many, many years in OA, I wasn't developing a relationship with power. I wasn't entirely abstinent, implementing the instructions of this book. For many, many years in OA, I was relying on human power, on the power of the fellowship, on the power of the tools and the resolve. There were some accomplishments, some achievements. I had weight loss. My apartment was organized. My bills were paid. But I had no miracles. To have a miracle, I need to work in collaboration with God. I need to be entirely abstinent, implementing the instructions outlined in this book precisely. Then I will start experiencing miracles. Thank you for letting me.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Danny P., and thank you. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. And the share ID for today, Wednesday, January 7th, 7 a.m. meeting, is 23,095. That's 23095. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Christina L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and